Worldwide Resources, EWTN presents a truly global perspective of our Catholic faith. Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. I'm Brian Patrick. This week, we talk about fatherhood. Father's Day coming up in the U.S., and we'll examine the role of Christian fathers. This week, we're well represented with biological and spiritual fathers. His Excellency Bishop Richard Umbers, Auxiliary Bishop of Sydney, Australia, joining Peter Gagnon, EWTN's Vice President for Programming and Production here in Irondale, Alabama, and Father Elias Leeds, founder of EWTN in the Low Countries, the Netherlands. So we know that Father's Day is observed in June here in the U.S. and also in Holland. But Bishop Umbers, when is it observed in Australia?
So we do things a little bit differently upside down. It's the first Sunday in September.
And how does a bishop celebrate Father's Day?
Well, one thing is the parishioners obviously remind you. So they'll, you know, wish you happy Father's Day, Father. But in general, I kind of follow the ecclesiastical calendar. So I'd be thinking more about Father's Day on the 19th of March or the 1st of May.
When you're talking about the feasts of St. Joseph, the Solemnity
That's
of
right.
St. Joseph on March 19th, St. Joseph the Worker on May 1st. So is he your fatherly role model, or are there others?
Well, he's the universal role model. And so, you know, reading the encyclicals of the Magisterium of the Church from the 19th century onwards. There's quite a lot, actually, about St. Joseph, and especially the latest letter from the Holy Father, and the different aspects of fatherhood and masculinity that come through that. John Paul II speaks a lot about the feminine genius, but there's now more work done on what it is to be a man, very specifically with the responsibilities that come along with that. But I'd have to say, obviously, naturally, we all look to our own dad. I was very impressed with my own, I have to say. And quite indirectly, that led to my own vocation, just the nobility of my father and seeing how he would work for others, you know, for a good cause. And in a sense, spiritually, if you could look about grandfatherhood, I have to say, I think Cardinal Pell has been very much a spiritual grandfather to a lot of the priests in the Archdiocese.
And he has been through so much and has written so much about it. And those books can be, you can find them at EWTN's religious catalog. So, Peter, you have 8 children. I wonder who you look to as an example of Christian fatherhood in your family.
On the spiritual realm and on the physical realm, my dad, of course, who actually turns 91 years old this week, and was just a great example for me of growing up, a man of faith. A man who led his family, who worked very hard. But also on the spiritual realm, of course, St. Joseph, I have great devotion to him in the way he led the Holy Family. But also Pope St. John Paul II, I always saw him as a great example of someone who is very strong, but very compassionate in the way he led others. And so I've always seen him as a great example of how to be a father as well.
Yeah, I love St. John Paul II mm-hmm. as well for many of those same reasons. So Peter, children thrive with both a mother and a father. What mm-hmm. unique role do you play as a father raising Catholic children?
Sure, so I think a lot of people have said, you know, the woman is the heart and the dad's the head of the family. And you do see that. We have unique roles, and even dealing with the different children. So I'm blessed with 5 boys and 3 girls, and how we relate to each one differently. It's funny, like one of my sons will go up to my mom and said, you know, his mom and say, hey, I need a hug. I need to get those endorphins. You know, he doesn't usually do that to me, you know. So I try to lead them in how to lead a manly, holy life as a boy. And the girl, I try to set the example of what they should look for in a husband when their time comes. And so we have unique roles, but I think the key is we're on the same page. We lift each other up, and I think by the way that children see us interacting with each other, I think the best gift a dad can do to his children, give to his children, is to love his wife and show them how to treat her. And so we approach those roles differently with the different children, and we depend upon each other, and we learn from each other in that as well.
So we're going to talk more specifically about some of the practices within your family that you as a father lead in the family. But Father Elias, let's talk a little bit about what Father's Day and fatherhood means to you as a member of a religious community.
Well, I'd say, of course, it's a matter of authority. When I think about spiritual fatherhood, I think it's a bit similar. It's very similar to a father in a family. He must help you to become a responsible person. The divine word has been given to us, and we are called to answer to God's word in a responsible way. And I think the role of the father, starting with the biological task, if you like, rhythm of life, is to accompany the child towards responsibility. And that's why I don't actually like the term accompaniment. I think it applies more to marriage. Men and women should always be there for each other to complete each other. But the father has this strange task of having to give trials to his child, trials which imply absence, where he can test his sense of responsibility.
All right, we're going to talk more about that idea of accompaniment. I know that you say it actually denies fatherhood. We're going to save that for a little bit, but I want to ask you this question, Father, and maybe Bishop Richard can weigh in on this as well. Why do we call priests father?
Well, for me, it means that I immediately have to think about the fact that I am not the real father. I represent a father in whose service I must give my own life, consecrate myself to the truth, but I'm not the real father. And that's, I think, what I would have to think as a family father too. It's an immediate reference to the father of us all.
Bishop Umbers, how do you feel about that term father, and how do you think that it applies especially to a bishop?
Well, I think it actually, the Holy Father himself says it applies very especially to a bishop. Because we need to look to the care of so many. We wear a ring. We're married to the diocese, and it does lead us to realize that we're here to serve, as a father serves. So to lead, but also to lay down our lives in the service of all, taking that very real care, not to become bureaucrats. Which there's a tremendous force to simply delegate to a committee and say, you know, see you next time we meet. That is not fatherhood. That's a very weird kind of absence.
Well, you have so much administrative responsibility, and we're going to talk about that in a future segment here on the Catholic Sphere. And coming up, we'll also focus specifically on spiritual fatherhood, and we'll get a sneak look at one of the newest EWTN studios. Stay with us on EWTN for the Catholic Sphere on the Global Catholic Network. We're really blessed to have you with us for the Catholic Sphere this week, EWTN's weekly global perspective of our Catholic faith. I'm Brian Patrick, and our contributors this week are Father Elias Lades in the Netherlands, Bishop Richard Umbers in Australia, and Peter Gagnon in Alabama here in the United States. So, Peter, in this year of St. Joseph, let's look at the vocation of this earthly father of Jesus, who was called to be the father on earth of the only begotten Son of God. He would have taught Jesus his trade, of course, but what else would he have taught him?
Well, I think he would have been just a great example of obedience. You know, St. Joseph was obedient to God when he, you know, in both of his dreams to both take, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, and also just to take and protect his family, lead them into Egypt in a trial. So he didn't question. He followed God's desire for him, and he did it unwaveringly. And we saw, obviously, our Lord did that as well. So he's a great example of obedient to God's will and discernment of God's will in our lives. And that's something that us men also need to realize. We need to follow God's will in our lives, and also to lead our families in the same obedience to do what God is calling us to do, especially as fathers, to lead our families to heaven.
So as a Jewish father in that era, wouldn't he have also taught Jesus Scripture? So here you are teaching the Son of God, the Word of God.
No, exactly, exactly. So he'd have taught the scripture, he would have taught the language. There was, his earthly things that Jesus had to learn, and by him teaching him that, obviously, it helps us to be an example of how do we teach our kids to have that relationship with God our Father.
So, Father Elias, would you say that teaching is then a major role of fatherhood?
I guess so. Yeah. That's an unexpected question, actually. Yes, but it's not just a teaching of knowledge. It's a teaching to face life and see beyond life. For me, So I think the father should help his child to go through the trials of absence and stand on his own feet and... if you like, direct all his trials towards God to transcend his life.
So that, in a sense, that is teaching. I want to get back to that that idea of accompaniment, though, that you brought up earlier. You brought up this idea of accompaniment. You said that was much more appropriate for a couple than it is for fathers to accompany their children. And you actually say accompaniment denies fatherhood. Why?
It can, because it can deny the moment when the child has to be on his own and stand on his own feet. The father must allow the child to take risks and stand on his own feet. That means he has to retreat. He has to accept the absence of the child to initiate it to something that transcends this life. I mean, look at Golgotha, at Calvary. The biggest scandal, or if you like, the amazing mystery is the absence of the Father.
Certainly. And Bishop Umbers, you mentioned earlier about, you know, fatherhood and your role in the church as a bishop. I wonder, does maturity that comes with age make us, make you in particular, a better father figure in the church as a bishop?
That's certainly true. As you get older, you slow down, but that has advantages in the sense that you are better able to listen and to, you talk about tender mercy, really, really give people attention and a sympathetic ear and also just the affection of taking that interest. And it's really appreciated by so many, especially the young. Because also you're able to draw from your experience and show that you're not just listening, but you're actually understanding where they're coming from.
But you could be so overwhelmed with administrative responsibilities in the role of bishop. How do you and even priests, pastors at a parish, maintain some sort of spiritual depth in the face of so many of those responsibilities?
Well, I remember Archbishop Anthony Fisher, when he was auxiliary bishop in Sydney, he went to Cardinal Pell and said to him, you know, Eminence, you've got me on 23 different committees. And the cardinal replied, you got time enough to count them? You got time enough to be on another one? So when I see the archbishop, I say, I don't know how many committees I'm on. I haven't counted. So there's always, you know, so we drown in compliance. But in the midst of that, you know, you also have this little baby, the phone, and people are always on the phone with their concerns, with their problems. They come to see you, and it really is a question of you just have to act with a lot of fortitude, I suppose, in being able to give people the attention at that moment. There's always a thousand things in your head, but you have to give them that time at that moment, and it could be 30 seconds, it could be 3 minutes, it could be half an hour. Whatever they need, and then you're just forever using prudence to calculate what has to be done and which decisions need to suddenly be executed.
But you really need to pray about it all, don't you?
Well, that's how you start your day. Mm-hmm. You know, you do need a good period of time in contemplative prayer. And I think that's how most people handle it, be it half an hour, be it for some people 2 hours, however they can manage it.
Yeah.
But that is essential.
Peter, tell us a little bit about family prayer in the Gagnon family.
Well, we actually start off the day with a morning prayer together as a family. Those who are there, you know, I have some adult children who are in college, and you know, sometimes they can't participate in it. But we start off with morning prayer And then we read the lives of the saints, the saint of the day, and learn about that. And then in the evening, we do the family rosary together, which has been very important for us. We've been doing it for years, and even the littlest ones when they're just, you know, walking around. And but we do the whole rosary. So, and then we, you know, we try to encourage for them to foster their own spiritual life, their own spiritual reading. And a lot of times we don't, you know, we guide them in those areas, but we let them make the choices as they get older, and try to set the example by, you know, my kids will walk in and see that I'm doing some spiritual reading, and they'll ask what it is, and we'll have conversations. But we do have specific prayers that we do as families, and I, you know, lead them in that. And it's been a real blessing for us.
Well, and you also, as you say, you set an example. You mm-hmm. you let your children see that prayer is important to mm-hmm. you, and that it means something, and they'll take that into their lives. I know that from my own experience. Coming up, we get to know our contributors a little bit better, plus a challenge for you, that and more on the Catholic Sphere here on EWTN. Thanks so much for joining us for the Catholic Sphere. Today we are joined by Bishop Richard Umbers, the auxiliary in the Archdiocese of Sydney. He's in Australia. Father Elias Lades in the Netherlands, and Peter Gagnon here at EWTN in Irondale, Alabama. Excellency, as one of the newest contributors here on the Catholic Sphere, we'd like to get to know you a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your journey to the priesthood and eventually to the episcopate.
So I suppose like most young men, as a teenager, I sort of wondered what life was all about. Is there a God? Does he have a plan for me? I even had a priest ask me, do you want to be a priest? And at that stage, I was going, no way, forget about it. But as a university student, I met Opus Dei, and they taught me to do mental prayer. And then in my prayer, I opened myself up to God. I wanted to know what he wanted of me. And I was thinking at that stage, did you want me to do, you know, 1 hour a week of Red Cross or something like that, sort of following the footsteps of my dad, who gave of his time generously to visit people in hospital and do things like that. But God showed me, no, he wanted me to live apostolic celibacy, which I went, oh my goodness, I was 19. But that was pretty clear, so I committed myself to that. And later on, as an economist, there was a priest, Father Amin Aboud, making rest in peace, who at a retreat said, have you thought about priesthood? And I said, nope. And he said, have a think. And I said, okay. And he came back to me later and he said, have you thought about it? And I said, yeah, I have. Yeah, I'll be a priest. So I resigned my job and traveled to Rome and studied for the priesthood. So that led to 7 years of seminary, and I was ordained a priest in Spain in the end. And I was posted back in Sydney almost 20 years ago. And I've been developing an apostolate in Sydney and as a chaplain at university and in schools until one day I got a phone call from the nuncio as I was outside St. Mary's Cathedral, ready to hear 3 hours worth of confessions. And he said, this is the nuncio. The Holy Father has appointed you as auxiliary bishop to Sydney. Do you accept? So 7 years to be a priest, one phone call to be a bishop. I said, can I get back to you?
Is that humbling when you find that yourself in that place? And is that humbling to be called, to be elevated like that?
Well, it's kind of surrealistic. Mm. you don't know quite, and it really it's a shock in many sorts of ways. And it continues to be a shock, I think, for the first years of course. I mean, it's the case for a lot of bishops. You wake up in the morning and go, am I a bishop? Like, is that real?
Well, you're a natural here on television, so we're grateful that as a bishop, you're able to take a little time to be with us on the Catholic Sphere. Peter, you're in a leadership role here at the network at EWTN. I wonder, how does fatherhood help shape the way that you interact with your fellow employees, your work family, so to speak?
Yeah, well, as a father of eight, you come to realize that every child is different. And you relate to them differently. And I think I see that with like the employees that work with me, to say everyone has unique talents, unique gifts, and you have to deal with people differently in different ways. And so so looking at how I dealt as a father with my children, I can also deal with other employees. And to also to, you know, you got to learn to, this person needs to be lifted up a little bit, and to appreciate, you know, I've learned to appreciate all that my children do. And I really appreciate all the hard work that our production crew and the various people at the network do to really make, you know, carry on Mother Angelica's mission here. And it is a lot of work, and you have to acknowledge it, and you have to work with the strengths of each individual person. So I think that's helped me.
And we are a growing family at EWTN. You've been part of this family for a long time. Mm-hmm. What brought you to this network?
So actually, I had a older brother who was working for EWTN when we first launched radio, and I had just graduated. I was actually from Maine originally, and came down to visit him to just spend a summer before I went to graduate school. Ended up getting a job at the network instead, and you know, almost 28 years later, I'm still here. So yeah. And we thank God for that.
Yeah, you've blessed so many of us mm-hmm. in your leadership role, Peter. Tell us about some good news from Eastern Europe, our affiliates there.
Yeah, so we've just had tremendous growth in Eastern Europe. So we have affiliates in Croatia, Laudatio TV, which has been an affiliate for quite a few years. And they just have a new studio in offices that they just inaugurated recently, which has been fantastic. And that's been a real blessing for them, and just the people of Croatia as well. They take our programming and translate it. And then also we have Hungary, which also has a great offices there in studios, and in addition to Poland and other regions in our area. Hungary is going to be very important for us. This year in September is the International Eucharistic Congress, so we'll be working with our offices there to bring actually the Eucharistic Congress to the world this September.
And Father Elias, earlier you mentioned about you know, about fathers instilling responsibility. I wonder how that applies to spiritual fatherhood as a priest.
Yeah, I just must first correct you. You've been talking about Eastern Europe, but the countries you name are in fact Middle Europe.
Oh, sorry. But thanks for that
correction. It's very important to see that, because Middle Europe is the shock breaker between East and West idiocy, and it happens to be countries with a very strong Catholic population, and the trials of the past actually make them very strong now to help us in the trials we all face.
That's a good
point.
So
I call it the Middle Europe, the golden shockbreaker, that is giving us a very good example of what it means to be a Catholic in times of trial. That's why I really insist on calling it at Middle Europe.
Well, that's one of the great gifts of being a Catholic sphere, a global show, that we really get an insight. We might have an idea here in the States that is not exactly accurate, where you have a much better sense of that. I want to go right on to our weekly challenge, though. And each week we issue a brief challenge or a meditation, this time on fatherhood. So here's mine. Every time that I'm wished a happy Father's Day this year, this Sunday, I'm going to remind myself of my Heavenly Father's unfailing love for me and all His creation. I hardly knew my own father. He died when I was very young. So I really need to lean on our Heavenly Father. Father Elias, what is your challenge or meditation for our viewers this week?
Who is the Father? Who is the Heavenly Father? Try to discover why Jesus got so much strength from knowing His Father and seeing His Father face to face. Not just his obedience to the Father, but his seeing of the Father. And everything the Father wants to give through Christ. It's really, it's very crucial in our times to see that we are on our way to the house of the Father. And to meditate on that, I think, is very important, and it will give us strength.
Peter, what is your challenge?
I would say my challenge is, as all the fathers out there, as a spiritual head of your household, bless your children. Every night, go to each child and just and give them a blessing. And that'll be a great example to them. I do that to my children every night, even my oldest. And so I think I would like to challenge our all the fathers out there watching to do that to your children if you're not doing it already.
And Excellency, tell us about your challenge briefly before you lead us in a short prayer.
Sure. Well, I think, look, I start the day with energy. By the end of the day, I just need to crawl into bed. So make an examination of conscience. Do it in a short examine. Have I been mercifully patient with the mistakes that people make? Have I had the fortitude to actually correct when I said, oh, look, I'll just let it go, but really should be followed up on.
All right. Would you close us with a short prayer, Excellency?
Sure. A prayer for St. Joseph from Pope Francis has published in that latest encyclical. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Hail, guardian of the Redeemer, spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. To you God entrusted his only Son, in you Mary placed her trust. With you Christ became man. Blessed Joseph, to us too, show yourself a father. Guide us at the path of life. Obtain for us grace, mercy, and courage. Defend us from every evil. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us. Bishop Richard Umbers in Australia, Peter Gagnon here in Alabama, and Father Elias Lades in the Netherlands. I'm Brian Patrick. Join us next week on The Catholic Sphere. We'll explore the uniqueness of St. John the Baptist, the last of the great prophets, and the first Christian. Be sure to join us then right here on EWTN's The Catholic Sphere.